Finding AI's place in education.
It provides the opportunity to experience new things, to explore new things, to, you know, have new hypotheticals, to be able to interact and engage with different things that you've never been able to do before.
The positives, the drawbacks of artificial intelligence today in the Upper Cumberland. Not many days go by where you don't hear the term artificial intelligence. Well, consider this. ChatGPT, which is the machine-powered language involved with artificial intelligence, set a record in January. The fastest user growth, 100 million active users, just 2 months after its launch. Artificial intelligence is here. As with most technologies, there are opportunities. There are also concerns about AI. Jason Beach is a Tennessee Tech professor who's looking at the way AI and other technologies impact education. He also helped lead a task force to define how AI can be used in higher education.
Let's talk about the creative side of this, because one of your colleagues at Tennessee Tech, who was with us several weeks ago, said, you know, you could make Johnny Cash sing Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus, and it would sound exactly like Johnny Cash. You can create works of art using this, which kind of, in my mind, falls a little bit outside of what you're talking about with the predictability, but I guess it's still in that same line of thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so art's a little bit tricky because, you know, when most people think of art, they think of art as a creative endeavor that really can't be encapsulated.
Right.
That's not really the case because art has specific guidelines and rules that you follow. So for example, if you are drawing a picture of a person, right, that person's going to have to look like a person, which means they're going to have some symmetry to them. They're going to have, you know, two arms, you know, two legs, they're going to have a head. You know, those are rules that are followed within in creating art. So those rules are, again, used in AI. So if I ask AI to create a picture of a person standing in the field, it already knows that a person is symmetrical. They have two arms, two legs. It's going to generate that shape. It knows what a field is because it's seen images of fields. It's you know, reviewed, you know, that. And so it's going to generate a field. It's going to generate that symmetrical individual in that form. And then they're going to know it needs a time of day. So they're going to put a time like, a you know, at night or during the day. That's kind of what I was going back earlier. The more you ask of it, the better it's going to give you as far as results go. So if I ask it to create a picture of a person standing in the field at night with fog, it will do that. But if I just ask it to, you know, create a picture of someone standing in a field, it's going to be very, you know, bland or something along those lines. So when people typically think of art, they think it's, like I said earlier, it's this creative thing. But there's still rules that you have to follow within art. And again, AI knows what those rules and boundaries are, and then just works within those. And that's, you know, so whether it's Johnny Cash, we've got recordings of Johnny Cash's vocals. We have each word that he's used in the past, and then we can phrase them together and make music based off of that. Morgan Freeman's another example that they've used his voice and captured that. Images, likenesses of individuals have also been captured because we have video of that. And that's kind of going back to what you said earlier about the conspiracy. We have to be very careful because a lot of those things can be used in nefarious ways. And that's why I said a lot of these companies are very, very close-fisted on what they're allowing AI to actually do right now.
Well, and Governor Bill Lee has, trying to put Tennessee in the forefront in terms of music, of making sure that AI can't violate the realm of artists and writers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure we're protecting those singers and songwriters, artists. We want to make sure we're protecting them and not letting AI come in and just take over. And the real reason we want to do that is because AI is only working off the data set that's been given. So if we kind of fail to write new music as humans, then the music that we have now will be about what it's going to be. You know, we need more creative focus because, again, AI is just pulling off of that combined data set. So the more that we interact with AI, the better AI is going to be. The less we interact with AI, the less, you know, valuable it's going to be. So it's really a partnership.
Dr. Jason Beach, as we talk about artificial intelligence and hopefully provide each of us a little more intelligence on this subject that's seemingly facing us all the time these days. Tennessee Tech's Jason Beach is with us as he works in the Department of Education. I want to expand our conversation just a little bit because in the realm that you research of how technology impacts education, there was a feeling for so long that somehow we wanted to replace human interaction with technology in the classroom. I'm going to bet you see it the other way, which is we're able to take students to places we never could have imagined using technology. Am I reading you correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a common, you know, misconception that folks have about technology in the classroom is, you know, they see it as a replacement. You know, we're humans. We respond best to humans, you know. Even if there's a machine in front of us, we're going to respond to the machine, but we're not going to have a connection with the machine today like we have a connection with individuals. So whenever you're learning something, there's a lot going on in the brain to make sure you're holding on to that information and retaining it. And a lot of that has to do with human-human interaction. So what technology does is it provides the opportunity to experience new things, to explore new things, to, you know, have new hypotheticals, to be able to interact and engage with different things that you've never been able to do before. So just like, you know, having a calculator, with calculator you can do, you know, more complex mathematic equations versus just, you know, pencil and paper. Technology, AI, virtual reality, all these new technologies that we have allow you to do a lot more in the classroom that you would typically be able to do in the past.
I think of virtual reality, of being able to go places that one could never imagine. I mean, to be able to, in history class, to stand inside the Colosseum in Rome, to be able to go inside the veins, to go inside the heart, which I'm assuming all of those types of things are just a click.
Yeah, they exist today, and we have a virtual reality lab in the College of Education. It's called the Vision Research Lab. It stands for Virtual Immersive Interactive Observation, and we use that for our teacher education preparation. So I've gone through for several years and captured classroom, basically classroom discussion. I've got a specialized camera that uses 360-degree video and sound, and I just capture an entire class. And because it's in full 360, you can watch that video 12 times and get 12 different things out of it. Because in a classroom that's dynamic, and, you know, instead of the cameraman or camera person just focusing the camera in one direction, you can choose where you want to look in that space. So, you know, we have these videos that's been recorded from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. And our pre-service teachers, you know, who'll be future teachers, can, you know, see what conversations are like in fourth grade. They can see what conversations are like in fifth grade. They can see how teachers interact with students. They can see how students interact with each other. Because as you're in that space, you're able to actually do that. Now, the beauty of AI is that you can even replicate some of those things based on the video footage that I've already created. So, and then even beyond that, you can use AI to actually put yourself in situations where you have to respond. So I've done that, a little bit of that with AI, where I've filmed different scenarios and you have to respond to that scenario based on the prompt that the person's giving to you. But the beauty of AI is that it can generate these scenarios and examples in a way that you would be able to then interact with.
So are you saying that you could generate scenarios and see how a teacher responds before she ever or he ever gets in a classroom?
Absolutely. So you can, and we do that. I have a behavior simulation that I've worked with iCube on, Max, who I've worked with before on that. And that's exactly what we do. We use VR headsets, and the teacher puts on the headset and reads a book to the students. The students on the carpet are actually graduate assistants who have visors, headsets as well. And they have a list of disruptors that they actually trigger while that teacher is reading. And then we can actually see what that teacher's seeing, because we can pipe the feed from the visor into a computer and actually just examine, how did that teacher respond? Did they use a verbal, nonverbal response? Were they too aggressive? Were they not aggressive enough? Did they let the misbehavior go too long? And these are all examples of practice before getting into the classroom. And again, just like with VR, AI is going to provide a lot of the opportunity as well, because again, you get to practice and run through simulations before you start interacting with folks.
I know right now that we're in the midst, as a society, as parents, as educators, of trying to find the right part that technology, from your phone to your laptop to whatever, has in our society, in all parts of our society, really. Do you have it in your mind of what part technology should play in education, be that for elementary and middle schools all the way up to higher education?
Yeah, I think it should be used as a tool, but that's it. It should never replace the actual human-human interaction. Again, that's how lasting knowledge, you know, would reside with that learner. It's just an extra tool to use. It's just an extra tool that's going to be at the hands of the teacher, and they'll be able to use that to make better predictions on what the student knows and what they don't know. Like I said earlier about the order of operations, figure out where the student's gaps are and then provide them additional materials to help fill in those gaps. It could be a great assistant if you think about it in that regard for a teacher, a good AI teaching assistant to help identify those things that the teacher may miss and then be able to provide that information and help that student.
Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech, our remaining moments just ahead. As we close out our conversation with Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech, who works in the Department of Education, he also chaired the AI committee at Tennessee Tech that looked at how AI fits with higher education and how students learn and what's legal and not legal in the classroom. And that certainly that's going to be something that's going to evolve as AI continues to evolve. You think back to when we all first saw the internet, and I was in a master's program at the time and got a first glimpse, and it's kind of like, okay, wow. And now where we are today, mm-hmm. with something that you can, any question you can think of, you can find it. Mm-hmm. How does AI, I mean, are we just at the early stages of this? Are we going to look back in 25 years and say, wow, that was another internet?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I first saw the internet, I was a junior in high school, and our library had four computers. And it was, you know, late 90s when I saw it, and it blew my mind. But it was, you know, for the folks who do remember, it was the animated mailbox,
right.
The door coming up and the mail flying in. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would never at that point in my life imagined basically every daily activity relying on the internet, whether it's banking, whether it's entertainment, whether it's finding out news, whether it's listening to music, whether it's, you know, communicating with family members without cell service. You know, I would never have imagined at that point. The big difference that I think, and that when I'm talking to folks about AI and I do compare it to the internet, is that the internet, you know, we've had it for, you know, the graphic internet that most people are used to using with the graphical interface and stuff is, you know, about 25 years, you know, 20, 30 years old, give or take. It's taken a long time to get to the point that we're at now. AI will continue to develop, but it'll be doing it at a times rate. So it's going to advance way faster than what we were able to advance with the internet, because it's using the internet as its backbone to build off of. So while it's taken all that time to get to the internet where it is today, AI's that next step is going to continue it's just going to accelerate, and it's going to be even faster. So there's a really great video I'll point you all to on YouTube. It's kind of funny. If you do a search for Will Smith eating spaghetti, it will actually show you last year what AI could do in producing a video, a completely made up video of Will Smith eating spaghetti, and then it will compare it to what it looks like today. And it's dramatically the difference in just a year's time of what AI can do with video. So much so that the video of today looks like a real movie that you would see on Netflix or something along those lines. Whereas the year prior, it was obviously not real. So there's some great things online you can find as far as showing the progress of AI, but it is going to progress at a very rapid rate. And again, going back to what I was saying earlier about the corporations and the companies holding on to that, you know, they're really kind of determining internally every day, you know, what do we release, what do we don't release, you know, because again, anything they release could, you know, it's going to be out in the public, and it's just going to keep pushing us forward.
It's a fascinating topic, and it has so many ramifications for all parts of our life, which will play out over the next several years at no doubt. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech, thanks for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
I'm sure someone is listening to our conversation as we talk about artificial intelligence with Dr. Jason Beach from Tennessee Tech and saying, okay, I keep hearing AI, you know, do I have AI on my phone? Do I have AI on my computer, on my laptop, on my tablet? Is it something you buy? Is it something that's there? Is it, where is it?
Yeah, that's a great question because, again, AI is a broad term, like I've already mentioned. So if you use any type of voice assistant, that's an example of AI. It's making it predictions and those types of things. So any type of voice assistant, if you have any smart devices in your house, it's utilizing some sort of AI to be able to make those predictions. So for example, you know, we have Alexa enabled smart switches in our home. So it notices that we turn off the lights at 9 o'clock every night and to watch TV. So it gives me a prompt and says, hey, would you like me to automate this process for you since I've noticed you've turned the lights off at 9 o'clock every night? that's an example of an AI in your daily life. So yeah, AI is throughout. I mean, our daily life. It's becoming less and less of an opportunity for AI not to be part of your life, just depending on all the options you have. So,
but in terms of a prompt,
yeah,
you know, if I want to do some of these things we've talked about doing, is that as near as the internet?
Yeah, so just having a good connection to the internet, access to a browser, and just, you know, having access to Microsoft's Edge browser. ChatGPT is actually built into that. So they actually have, if you'll notice, when you do a type at the very top, it'll start generating a response. You can choose to ignore that and look at the rest of the links below that. But that's utilizing ChatGPT. Microsoft has purchased a big chunk of the OpenAI, stock. And so they're really investing heavy into OpenAI, which is the company that runs ChatGPT, which most people typically think about. When you think about AI, they typically hear the word ChatGPT, ChatGPT 3, 3.5, 4. The company that's running it is OpenAI, and a lot of companies are actually utilizing that. So Microsoft has, like I said already, got a big chunk of that, and a variety of other companies as well.